Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody. Good to see you and welcome this morning to Stony Creek Church. You know, as the speaker, as the pastor, when we're singing these songs, I get a special treat of knowing what I'm about to share from the scripture with you. And I think, man, these songs just fit so well. And it's not just because it's Christmas songs and I'm talking about the Christmas story. You think, well, yeah, that would make sense. No, just the aspects of the Christmas story, what it means, fit really well with today. It made me think, I almost wish I had preached this and then we sang those songs. Because you'd be like, oh, that's what he was talking about. Oh, that's what the scripture was saying. But that's okay. However, you do have another chance. You do have another chance to sing some more Christmas carols. Tonight, we've got our two services, Christmas evening services, at 4 o'clock and 5:30 p.m. And those are identical services to each other, but they're unique from this service. And so I encourage you to come out, bring the family with you, friends with you, and enjoy that, sing some more carols, get into the scripture, and hear from my boss, Pastor Randy. All right. Well, this morning what we're doing is concluding our series, Joy from the Lord. We've been doing this series all December, this series about the joy of the Lord, which is such an amazing gift from God for his people, for those that follow Jesus. We get to have the joy of the Lord. It's better than happiness, which depends on circumstance. Happiness can come and go. No, this joy is accessible. We've been studying this in even the hardest of times. And it's even better than just accessible. Scripture teaches the joy of the Lord is your strength. This joy actually fortifies us. It makes us stronger to be able to endure difficult circumstances that come our way. Just as a quick review, you can always go back and check the podcast or the videos if you missed one of the Sundays. But just as a review, we studied about joy in the face of danger and other real hard or maybe sad circumstances. We can have joy in those circumstances when we cry out to God in prayer and find shelter in his presence. We studied about joy after wrestling with guilt. We can have joy when we repent. We repent of our sin. God is gracious to us and welcomes us back and gives us joy and forgiveness. We studied about the joy we have in obeying God's word, that it leads to really knowing and living out his good and pleasing and perfect will in our lives. And then last week, we studied about joy when following Jesus hurts. Jesus taught that when you follow him, life can actually get harder. It gets harder because we quit making the main pursuit of our life all these temporary pleasures and goals. That doesn't consume us anymore, and maybe we liked some of those things, but sometimes we need to sacrifice those, oftentimes, in order to follow Jesus. That can be difficult. Also, following Jesus risks being misunderstood and even rejected because of our faith. That can be difficult. We also, our hearts grow to be like the Lord's, and they break over people that are hurting, that are in need, that are lost and need a Savior. Our hearts, we're walking around with broken hearts for people that are hurting and lost. And yet, we learn that Jesus gives us joy as we follow him all along the way because we have the answer to all of those things in Jesus. We have the answer to all of those things, and even more so, we get to share the answer. We get to share Jesus with others, and this ought to give us so much joy every day, even as we face all the hurt and pain in this life when following him. And so I was reflecting back on this series before this morning's, putting together this morning's message, and I realized every week we've been talking about the joy of the Lord, which is awesome, but we've also been talking about these difficulties in life, and so there's been this tension, and really the Christian life is one of tension between caring deeply for the hurting and mourning over wickedness, but also carrying around this real freedom and peace and joy that the Lord blesses us with every day. But today, in our final message in the series. It's Christmas Eve, and we get to celebrate joy incarnate. Joy incarnate. Today we get to visit the place in Scripture where joy is unleashed into the world. And our worries, our concerns, they'll melt away as we approach, of all places, a dirty, humble stable and find Jesus there. The message today is entitled, Joy Bundled in a Manger. Joy bundled in a manger. Now, of course, we call all newborn babies, what do we call them? Big bundles of joy, right? Bundles of joy, like baby Quill, who was just born, Quill Orth, to Taylor and Becca on Thursday. That's a little bundle of joy right there. Look at that guy. Handsome like his dad. All right. Yeah, but of course, in Mary and Joseph's case, they delivered God in the flesh. The Son of God came into the world, causing the angel to proclaim these words, and we're going to read them again, but I'll read them to you now, a little spoiler. The angel said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. When the Son of God was born, this is what the angel was proclaiming. And so open up your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2. Get out your smartphone if that's what you prefer. You can also take out the outline from your program. It's got the scripture there. I still like having my Bible. Whenever I'm listening to Randy or whoever's up here, usually Randy, preaching, I like to make my notes not on my outline. I like to make them in my Bible because then when I go back, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. We studied that. And so I still enjoy bringing that, but I'm slowly becoming an old man, you know. And so I'm like, you guys with your newfangled phones. Anyway. All right, but that's okay. Use your phone. Today we're going to explore four responses to joy incarnate. As we approach the manger, these are four responses we can have to Jesus. And we'll see that not everyone, and of course we know this intuitively, not everyone experienced this great joy. The angel said this great joy for all the people. But not everybody did experience this great joy from this good news. But those who did, boy, did they ever. And so you'll notice there on your outline that there's 4 points, right? But the first one is printed in red. And that's because this is the bad one. This is the don't do this, all right, approach. The rest are in green. And they're the, yeah, do that. They're the exemplary ways that we respond, all right, to joy incarnate. So first, let's look at what I call the stoplight of responses. The no, don't go there. To joy incarnate. And you want to write it down. Number one on your outline, blow it off. You're too busy. You say, well, that's the easiest one. Yes, that's going to be the easiest one. But it's the worst one. It's the worst one. But let's jump into our text, and we're going to begin here right in verse 1 of, oh, that should say Luke chapter 2. Whoops. That might say that all along. That's my fault. I'm the one that typed it. Don't blame a tech person. Blame me. But you know where you're supposed to be. Here we go. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. Help me out. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. All right. Very familiar passage in Scripture. Here. What a wild time. What a wild time for the Son of God to be born. You've got Caesar, head over the empire, the superpower in the world. He's just documenting how powerful he is, having this census taken. The city's hustling and bustling, and Joseph and Mary, they're very far from their home without even a guest room to occupy. But this, of course, was God's perfect timing for the Savior to be born. But still, the world at large missed the fact that our Creator had just entered our time and space. This is a huge, huge deal. And most people missed it. We're about to read about spectacular things. And as we go on in this passage, there's some crazy special effects about to happen here. But most throughout the city and even the whole empire completely missed the biggest event thus far in human history. Now today, it's a little bit different. Christmas isn't secretly celebrated by a select few. Nope. Christmas time is announced on the radio, the TV, it's in every store, it's all over the internet, it's the decoration on just about every house. We see all the lights. It's hard to miss that it's Christmas nowadays. And yet it's still easy to blow off the meaning of Christmas. Just as easy, if not easier than ever before, with all these distractions. We've got lots of traditions and activities and get-togethers that surround Christmas, and many are very good. Many of them should be cherished. They're a good tradition for a reason. Other things are way over the top and over commercialized, have nothing to do with Jesus at all, really. You wonder, why is this Christmas even attached to this? For example, my family went to an event last weekend. It was this holiday bonanza or something like that. I can't remember what it was called. And at this event, you could stick your face in a cartoon elf. Ooh. You could pose with a plastic snowman for a picture. You could even feed a Christmas dinosaur. What does this have to do? This had absolutely nothing to do with Christmas, all right? I posted about this on Facebook. I said, this was a fun time, but it's not the real meaning of Christmas. It's not even anything to do with it. We had fun. We were laughing at how cheesy, how hokey this whole thing was the whole way through, but we had a good time together. I noticed there wasn't even one token manger scene. And they like dinosaurs. I figured they could have used this one. You know, you know where I'm going with this. You see Joseph and Mary over the Lord Jesus right here, but it also kind of looks like two T-Rexes fighting over a table saw. If you, can you see? If you haven't seen the meme thus far, I just ruined many people's Christmas decorations for you in your neighborhood now. There is one like this near my house. And I pointed out to the kids every time. I said, ooh, dinosaurs. Oh, boy. We know it's very easy in our busyness. You can take that off the screen now so I can bring people back to the scriptures. It's very easy in our busyness to skip the reason for Christmas, which is celebrating that God became a human being. To reveal himself to us and to save us from our sin. Of course, this isn't just a Christmas time issue, right? Our lives are so distraction-filled that we miss Jesus every day. We miss him every day. Let this Christmas be a reminder not to treat our days like, well, I got all this stuff to do. And if I have enough time, you know, at the end of the day, then maybe I'll use some of it to spend a little time with the Lord. Let's not treat our days like that. Let's treat the Lord as the foundation and beginning of every day of our lives. Going to him to dedicate ourselves and everything we're going to do to him for his glory, for his purposes. Let's be a people that is in communion with the Lord all day long in prayer. Knowing the value of this relationship we have, never overlooking, never blowing off our Savior, never blowing off our Savior. If we live this way, if we live every day for the Lord, coming to him, engaging in relationship with him, in prayer, reading his word, dedicating our days and using them for his glory, if we do this, every single otherwise busy and mundane day will be filled with joy because we're accomplishing his purpose
in our lives and enjoying that relationship with Jesus. Don't blow him off. Certainly don't do that. All right, that's the red light. Let's go to the green light applications here, all right? These are the good responses. I used to read this book to my kids called Go Dog Go. And some of you are nodding. There's this one point in the book where it says, stop, dog, stop. The light is red now. Go, dog, go. The light is green now. These are the go, dog, go applications here now, all right? So if you didn't write down the first one, write down these ones. Number two there on the outline, responses to joy incarnate, join the celebration. Join the celebration. Let's read on in our passage. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Or if you prefer the Linus version, sore afraid, right? Whew. Imagine seeing an angel. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Praise God. While the world was too busy to notice the birth of this humble child sleeping in an animal's feeding trough, this manger, these powerful angels of heaven are singing and celebrating his birth. Heaven knew how amazing this event was. First, there's one angel, which, you know, wow. You know how often these shepherds saw angels? As often as you or I. You know, I mean, okay, I know sometimes you might be entertaining angels unaware. You know, they kind of trick us, look like people, but that's not what we're talking about. You know, here. Never. They don't ever see this. Even in the Gospel of Luke, there's only one other angelic appearance. It's a little more subtle, but it's at the empty tomb. To see a confirmed angel is a huge deal. This is a huge deal. But then not just one, but a multitude, a company of the heavenly host. This is amazing. Now consider all the special effect-filled spectacle going on here, okay? Consider all of that. It wasn't even the biggest thing going on in Bethlehem that night. That wasn't even the most amazing thing happening. These angels weren't shouting, "Hey, look at us! Woo!" No. They were telling the shepherds, "Go! Go find Jesus!" And they were praising God all along the way. These huge supernatural beings that manifested in such a way they could be seen and heard by regular humble people, they were not the event. They were the crowd gathered to witness the event. They were the screaming fans at what was going on in a little stable, maybe a little cutout in a cave for animals just a little bit away. When we celebrate the incarnation, that means God becoming man, the incarnation, we're joining with these angels. We're joining with the angels in recognizing what an awesome event this was. The angel said, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." The people there, first and foremost, are the people of Israel. That's who the angel's first talking about. The angel says that the good news is their long-awaited king, their Messiah, their Savior has arrived to usher in the kingdom of God. They've been praying and waiting and watching for their king to come. And the good news is the king is here. He's broken through. He's broken in. This good news would indeed bring great joy, as the angel said, to everyone who heard and believed. And this good news goes on to expand beyond Israel's borders to the whole world. God reaches into his creation. Even though we rebelled against him, even though we cut ourselves off from relationship with him, the King of heaven has come down for us, just like we sang in the song, the King has come down for us. What a great joy fills our heart when we celebrate the birth of Jesus and all it means. Now, this good news of the King coming down to his people was first being announced to lowly shepherds. Lowly shepherds. So let's look at how these guys responded to joy incarnate. Number three there on your outline is come and bring others to Jesus. Come and bring others to Jesus. Right at the very beginning, Jesus being born, we're being shown really the Great Commission. We're getting an example of it right here, right at the beginning, before Jesus even started his earthly ministry. Let's follow these shepherds as we read on in our text here together. It reads, when the angels had left them, they'd gone into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. I saw the comment, I'm like, I don't think we're reading more. We weren't reading more. What a contrast is being painted in this whole passage from beginning to end between the powerful, the human powerful in the empire, the emperor, you know, doing this census, and then where the real king of the universe is being born. There's this big contrast here. And Caesar doesn't get the first invite to come to Jesus. These lowly, often outcasted shepherds get the first invite from the angels. Go and see. See the newborn king. And what do? They run to meet Jesus, and then they begin telling everybody else. Truthfully, we're all outcasts from God. Every one of us. It began with our first parents, Adam and Eve. You know the story, Genesis 3. They rebelled against God in the garden. The Bible called it sin, where they turned their back on living for God and sought after what they wanted instead. But sin continues in us. We can't just blame Adam and Eve. We see it today. It's in our words. It's in our actions. It's in our heads and our hearts and our thoughts. We see sin in the way we hurt ourselves. We see sin in the way we hurt each other. And even more than hurting ourselves or each other, it all offends God. We've cut ourselves off from relationship with God here on earth. That's why it's such a hard place. That's why we have to endure hardships. The whole creation fell when we rebelled against our Creator. And if something isn't done about it, this separation continues into eternity, called hell. But the outcast shepherds being called into God's presence, they're a model of how we're all called to come back to God. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, he died on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin, satisfying God's wrath, God's justice, so that any person who places his or her trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior can cross over from death to life. That was the main focus of the King's ministry, the main way the kingdom would continue to advance. As people trust in the King. That's the good news. I entered into this relationship with Jesus as my Lord. That means boss, God, as Savior, the one who saved me by dying for my sins on the cross back in 1996. That doesn't sound like so long ago to many of us in this room, but it sounds a lot longer ago to my kids. They're like, you're from the 1900s. Oh, come on. How did that happen so quickly that somebody would tease me in that way? Guys, ever since then, almost 30 years now, I can't describe to you the joy that has filled my heart every day knowing I'm forgiven of my sin, and that fills me every day in a real, vibrant relationship with the Creator of the universe. If you've done this, you know what I'm talking about. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you know what I mean. I'm also reminded, though, by these shepherds, not to just keep this joy to myself. Don't just enjoy it myself, this relationship with Jesus. We need to go out like they did and call others, tell others about what God has done. We need to be sharing our faith and the good news, the gospel, and inviting people to trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's the reason we still have air in our lungs, is to go out and use it to tell people about Jesus with the rest of our lives. In fact, if you're here today and you've never done so, I invite you to surrender yourself to Jesus now. Pray to him. Call out to God today. If you feel like you need a little direction on that, after the service, our pastoral prayer team will be down here. They love to talk with you and pray with you. But this is your very best way to celebrate Christmas today, is to entrust yourself to Jesus. For the person who has come to Christ, for those of us who have, I've got one more. Or if that's you newly this morning, I've got one more response to look at, to joy incarnate. Number 4 there on your outline, marvel at the treasure you found. Marvel at it. Live in wonder. Marvel at the treasure you found in relationship with Jesus. These shepherds and angels and townspeople that are hearing about this, they all start showing up in the scripture reads. We're going to finish off our reading this morning. It says, "And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." For Mary and Joseph and these shepherds and all who heard this first Christmas, it was a time to be treasured, a time for reflection, a time to marvel at our awesome God and these wonderful things that he's doing and has done. Try to imagine what, it says Mary pondered all these things. What do you think was going through this young woman's mind that night? She's done with having the baby. There's still a lot, there's all the exhaustion. There's no epidural back then, so there's pain and lasting things like this. But imagine all of these things she's seen and heard and experienced and all these visitors that came through. What was she pondering? God chose me for this? This little baby I'm holding is my long-promised Messiah? Whew, Joseph and I have a huge responsibility. I think of the movie The Nativity, where Joseph says, "I wonder if I'll ever be able to teach him anything." You know, knowing who this little one is. But she would also be pondering, look how God is keeping his word to his people. We were promised a Messiah, and here he is. I get to witness this coming to be. She'd be pondering, look how God kept us safe this far. On this road to Bethlehem from Nazareth was treacherous area, a lot of bad things. It could have gone sideways, but God protected us. Look how God has orchestrated every detail to accomplish his will, to see that he's glorified. She must have been thinking, I am so honored to be chosen for this. I just need to depend on my Lord to accomplish this task that he's given me, to raise the Messiah. Church, if you belong to Jesus, God has chosen you. He's chosen you. Marvel in this treasure every day. Your life is more than endless laundry and oil changes and working to pay bills. That stuff is still there. Don't quit doing all that. Your life is about getting to know Jesus more and more every day, growing in relationship with him and revealing him to others around you. You have the greatest task in the universe, to tell people about the King of Heaven and what he does. May our whole life reflect that. Our main idea today is this: find your greatest joy in connecting with Jesus daily.
every day, not just one time at Christmas, not just one time when you trusted in Jesus to save you so you don't have to worry about hell. Every single day, connect with the Lord Jesus and you'll find great joy, no matter the circumstance. This side of heaven, there's always going to be hardships. There's always going to be trials. Even Mary and Joseph, not one, maybe 2 years after this event, they have to run for their lives to Egypt. There's a mass, well, you know the deal. A slaughter of innocents from King Herod. And they escape with their lives and run to Egypt. Nope, this life is filled with hardships and trials. And yet, even there, again, we saw how God was faithful. He protected them through it. He guided them through it. And he saw that his will would be accomplished. Our daily relationship with Jesus brings the joy of the Lord into our lives, enabling us to face everything this world can throw at us. That's what we've been talking about all month long, and we see it again here in the Christmas story. We can cry out to God to take shelter in him during our struggles. We can repent and find forgiveness from the Lord when we sin, we mess up. We can follow his word. We get to have the word of God to guide us to his what Romans calls his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We get to find his good, pleasing, and perfect will for our lives. We focus on our relationship with Jesus and his promised reward of heaven. We can go through trials. We can go through persecution. We can go through anything with joy, knowing heaven awaits. A perfect everyday relationship without all the junk awaits in heaven. And we get to look forward to that. But we get to enjoy that relationship right here and now. Our greatest joy is connecting with Jesus. Do so this Christmas. Do so every day. I invite you to stand with me. We're going to close in a final carol, a dearly loved one, together. But before we do, let's pray. We're going to dedicate our offering in just a moment. But I want to remind you, if you need some prayer after the service, our pastoral prayer team will be down here. If you'd like to talk with somebody about trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do that today. It's more important than any other plan you've got this Christmas, okay? I know there's probably a turkey in somebody's oven warming and you got to get back to it. It's more important, okay? Do business with the Lord this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son to become a human being, to reveal you to us. Jesus revealed the Father to us. And thank you that he didn't just reveal you to us, but he made the way back to you possible by paying the penalty for our sin on the cross. That ministry began there at that Christmas and was completed by Jesus in his death and resurrection. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray each of us would embrace Jesus as our Lord and Savior this morning, maybe for the first time, or maybe all over again with wonder and awe at what you've done for us. As we dedicate this offering to you, Lord, we pray that you would bless it and advance your kingdom. Continue as Jesus the King broke in and began your kingdom advancement. May it continue, and may those resources be used for that purpose alone, to advance your kingdom far beyond our property here at Stony, but out in the world around us. May we see more people trusting in Jesus as Lord and Savior and growing in relationship with him. May we be wise stewards of every blessing you give us. We dedicate that to you. In Jesus' name, amen.